You have a copy of the Word of God this morning. Can I ask you please to turn with me to the book of Genesis? Book of Genesis and the chapter 4. This, of course, is the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 4. We'll read together from verse number 1. Down to the end of verse 16. Genesis chapter 4, please. And we will commence at verse number 1. Give attention, of course, to the reading of the Word of God. Every bit as important, if not more so, than the preaching of the Word of God. This is God's Word we're reading this morning, not my Word, not a church's Word. This is the Word of God. So therefore, let's give earnest heed to what we read. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Amen. May God be pleased to add his blessing to the reading of his precious, precious word. Can I ask you please to turn back with me in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. This morning, by the help of God, I want to speak on the subject of the wrong harvest. The wrong harvest. And particularly, I want us to center our thoughts upon a phrase that we find in Genesis 4, verse 16. We look at other verses in this chapter. But Genesis 4, in the verse 16, we read, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. As we come to the Word of God, can we please just take a moment to ask again for the Lord to be with us? Let's come to Him in prayer. I pray the Lord will speak to us through His Word, and particularly this morning. Find you here unsaved, that this morning you'll come And the Lord would speak to your heart most especially. And this day, this morning, this harvest service would be the day, the time of your salvation. Eternal God and our Father, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise to Thee. We thank the Lord today that we can say how great Thou art. Lord, we'll never be able to praise Thee enough, never be able to worship Thee enough. But, O God, we pray that today You'll help us, Lord, to even in a little way, in a greater way, Lord, lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise to Thee. Thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for Thy grace. And Lord, today we thank Thee for Thy word. And O God, we pray that as we come to the word of God this morning, Lord, that You'll give this preacher the help that he needs. Lord, he needs so desperately. Give us help, Lord, to preach. Lord, it will not come in the enticing wisdom of man's wisdom, but Lord, in the power and demonstration of God the Holy Spirit. O God, we pray that today You'll speak to every heart. Lord, we pray that today You'll take Thy word and apply it by the Spirit of the living God to the hearts of each one, and especially to those unsaved. O God, we pray that You'll open hearts today, even as Lydia's heart was opened that Lord's day. May hearts be open to receive the word of God today. O God, we pray You would please to give us help to preach and give us help to hear. And through it all, may Thy name be honored and glorified. Answer prayer for us and be with us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. This Harvest Thanksgiving weekend, you have gathered once again in your church and your congregation to give thanks to God for the meeting of His need, our needs, in a very practical way throughout another year. And we can say this morning, this Harvest Thanksgiving weekend, that God has been good once again. That seed time and harvest has not failed. Now, how merciful, how good God has been. And as our brother Eric intimated on Friday night, those who came to decorate the church, you came to bring a harvest to thank the Lord and to recognize the Lord's goodness. This morning, as we come to Genesis chapter 4, I want us to come to others who brought a harvest. One who brought the right harvest, but especially this morning, I want to think of one who brought the wrong harvest. Because I want us to consider the life of Cain in some little way this morning. A man who brought a harvest. A man who thought he was doing right, but as we'll see, a man who was all wrong. He brought his own offerings to the Lord. But it was not what the Lord had required. It was not what the Lord had commanded. He brought the wrong harvest. And as a result, he paid an awful price for doing so. Because we read in Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 16, one who had come, as we'll see, to worship God. In verse 16, now we read these chilling words that Cain went out. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He brought the wrong harvest. And this morning I want us to consider the results, the effects of all of that. You see, this is Cain's testimony. Cain's testimony could be summed up there in those words in Genesis 4:16. But this is not a testimony of a delivered life. Rather, this is a testimony of a doomed life. Testimony of a life that I trust by God's Spirit will speak to each and to all today. And especially if you're here without the Savior. This account of Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve, his account is truly terrifying. To go out from the presence of the Lord. to come what with the way that you thought was right, and yet to go away from God. And maybe there's someone in this Harvest Thanksgiving morning service, and you have come here to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church because you feel this is right. You feel this is what you should do. But the problem is you feel that's all that you should do. You feel that even coming in through the doors of this church this morning is enough to merit some favor with God. But it will never be enough. And it is my prayer, it is the prayer of every saint of God and those who gathered in the prayer meeting before the service this morning, that while you've come into the presence of God today, that before this service is over, you would not, like Cain, go out from the presence of the Lord. That you would not walk away from the Lord's presence, but rather that this morning you would come to Him. You see, Cain lived on for some time after this account in Genesis 4. He went on to be, as far as the world was concerned, a great man. But he was a doomed man. And he died as he lived still in his sin, rejecting God's way and coming his own way. And I trust and pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, that you who are here without the Savior, that you would listen to this testimony, and that it may not be your testimony today. That while you may have come to this Harvest Thanksgiving service, coming as you think your way, coming the way you want, the way you feel is best, but that you might not go out from the presence of the Lord this morning. As we consider this testimony of the life of Cain, I want us to consider some thoughts as we find them here in Genesis chapter 4 and in other verses of Scripture. We consider Cain, the wrong harvest that he brought. I want you to see, first of all, here that there is a promising start. There's a promising start. You see, Cain had such a promising start in life. In fact, his early life was full of hope. It brought great hope. Cain was not just the firstborn of Adam and Eve. He was the first of all firstborns. First birth recorded in Scripture. And as such, his birth brought great hope. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden and God had sent them away from the garden and placing that fiery angel with the sword barring their entrance to the garden, it seemed that there was little or no hope anymore. The future was very bleak. They had gone from a place of peace and tranquility to a place of pain and sorrow, hard work and labor, and then eventually death. And it seemed that all hope was gone. But then as we read in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 4, that Eve conceives and she is expecting her firstborn. And like all new mothers, what joy and excitement that must have brought. There was a time of joy and happiness now. New life was coming into this world. Into this dark time, you see, comes a bright hope. And the seed of the woman would continue through the firstborn. The Lord had been merciful. Now Eve was blessed with being the first mother, the first to ever hold a child in her arms. The name Cain itself shows just how important that was. Just how thrilled Eve was with Cain. Cain means I have gotten. As you see there in verse number 1. It said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Here Eve gives the glory to God. I have gotten from the Lord. What a blessing had come into her home at a time of great darkness. And what a promise now. What a new start. It seemed that things were looking better. Cain. Cain had the best start in life. Cain had the potential to make the best of his life. He had so many blessings, favored so much. And yet, as we'll see, he did his own thing. I believe Cain was brought up in the ways of God. In verse number 3, we read that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings. I believe there in that act that Cain knew he had to worship God. In some way, he had a respect unto God. He was brought up to acknowledge God. He was brought up the right way. He was brought up to have a reverence and a respect for the Lord. He was brought up to fear the Lord. But as we'll see, this man Cain thought he knew better than God. He had a promising start. He started so well. And I wonder this morning, does that sum up your life? Is there someone here this morning and you have been brought up in the things of God? And like Cain, you've been nurtured in the things of God. You've been brought up to fear and respect and reverence the Lord. You've been taught right from wrong. You know what is expected of you. You know what is desired of you. You know what the Lord requires of you. Just as Cain did. And yet, do you today, like Cain, turn your back on the Lord? Turn your back on that upbringing that you had. The early years of Cain are not recorded in Scripture. But I would suggest to you, perhaps by the actions of Cain, even in verse 3 and further on, that Cain thought he was going to live his life the way he wanted to live it. And he would do as he pleased, and he would set God outside of his life. He would have a form of religion. He would say the right things and perhaps do the right things, but he had a heart that was far from God. I wonder this morning, is that you? You say all the right things and you do all the right things. You look like a Christian, you speak like a Christian, you act like a Christian, but your heart is far from God. And that upbringing that you had as a child, you're rebelling against. You're rejecting. Greatest privilege any child could have is to be born into a Christian home. With parents that love the Lord and seek to teach their children the ways of God, that, young people, is the greatest privilege you could ever have, and you thank the Lord for it. If you have parents who love you, parents who bring you to church, parents who seek to nurture you in the things of God, you thank the Lord for it. Cain had such a promising start. He had everything. He had the potential to live a life that was pleasing and honoring to the Lord, but he chose to, as we'll see, to do his own thing. And he wanted to live his life far from God. I wonder, is that you this morning? There's someone in this meeting, and like Cain, you've been brought up in godly homes with godly parents. But like Cain, you have decided to do your own thing. And you have set God aside. You don't want anything more to do with God. Yes, you might have a form of religion, a show of Christianity, but that's it. Cain had a promising start. But I want us to see as well here that Cain not only had a promising start, but he had a proud spirit. He had a proud spirit. We come back into verse 3. It says that in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I believe in that one verse there are all the hallmarks of a life of sin and rebellion and a man who was proud in his attitude and thought he could do things the way he wanted to do them. He had a proud spirit, he had a proud heart. Let me show you what I mean. In verse number 2, we're told the occupations of Cain and Abel. Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now in that, there's nothing wrong. Cain, a tiller of the ground. A market gardener, we perhaps might call him. He grew crops. Abel, on the other hand, was a farmer, a keeper of sheep. Both respectable, hard-working occupations. And then come into verse 3 and we read, in the process of time, it came to pass. They both brought their offerings to the Lord. Why? Because we go back to the point we made a few moments ago. They were both taught to worship God. They were both taught to respect God. They were both taught to come to God. And Cain, as we read in verse 3, brought of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, verse 4, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. But here's the thing I want you to see. Look at the end of verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. What was the difference? What was so wrong with Cain's offering? Well, let's just go back a moment. Go back to that time when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and what was to be the covering for their sin? God killed an innocent animal to provide a covering for their nakedness in Genesis 3:21, previous chapter. And you see, God, the holy God, in that very act of shedding innocent blood, showed to Adam and to Eve and to all of their posterity that there was only one way that man could ever come to God, and it was by the way of blood shedding. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God established a pattern for approaching God that has never changed throughout the years. The only covering, the only sacrifice that God accepted and would ever be acceptable to God was the blood sacrifice. And of course, there in Genesis 3, when the blood of that innocent animal was slain, was only a type, a picture pointing to the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who many, many years later would come into this world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would die on a cross, who would shed his precious blood. Why? Why? Because that was the only way to God. The only way that a man or a woman could ever approach God, could ever be counted right in the sight of God, is the way of bloodshed. And from Genesis through to Revelation, God's method of cleansing and covering has always been through the blood. The blood of the innocent. Blood of the atoning sacrifice to cleanse from sin. Because remember what the scriptures teach us, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He didn't say that without the plucking of the crops from the ground, or the flowers from the field, or the leaves from the tree. No, he was very specific, and it said, without the shedding of blood. Cain and Abel knew that. Abel practiced it
in his offering, but Cain denied it in his offering.
Abel carefully selected the best that he had. Look at verse 4. He brought also the firstlings of the flock. That word firstlings there, it suggests the very best. Just not any old sheep, any old animal. The very best, the fat thereof, speaks of careful preparation. You see, Abel came the way that God had commanded and the way that God had demanded. Blood was required. But Cain came his own way. Cain was saying to God by his actions that we read of there in verse number 3 of Genesis chapter 4, I'll do it my way. Yes, I feel I must do something in respect to God, but I'll do it the way I want to do it. And I'll offer what I feel is best, and I'll bring my efforts. He brought it to the fruit of the ground. And in so doing, he was demonstrating a very proud spirit. And I believe he was saying to God, I know what you require. I know what you ask for, but I'll do my own thing anyway. Maybe that's you this morning. You brought up in the church in Lisburn. And you know the way of salvation. You know that your only way that you can be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet today you'll say, I'll do it my way. You see, in Abel, in the offering that he brought, the firstlings of his flock, there was an acknowledgement of his sin and his need of a Savior. But in Cain, he neither acknowledged that he was a sinner nor that he needed a Savior. His lack of faith and dependence on the way that God had set out. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. Why? Because he had better animals than somebody else? No, but he came the way that God had demanded. He came the way that God required. And folks, it matters not what you think. It matters not what someone else thinks. It matters what God thinks. It matters what God says. And you might be in this meeting this morning thinking, I'll do things my way. Yes, you can have your religion. You can have your Christianity. You can preach about the cross and Christ and all of that. You can do that. But I'll just do it my own way anyway. And how many people in our province today, and that's exactly what they're doing. How many people brought up in Christian homes, and they're just doing things their way, without respect for God, without reverence to God. The wise man tells us in Proverbs that there is a way that seemeth right. A way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You might think what you're doing is right. You might feel even this morning you're here at a Harvest Thanksgiving service, and that's enough. It'll never be enough to save your soul. You could come and go to this congregation every day you live. And yet if you never came to Christ by the way of the cross, your soul will be lost in hell for all eternity. You see what Cain did when he offered, brought the fruit of the ground,
is that he was rejecting the atonement as the only way to God. He was rejecting the way of God. And folks, here's where you need to take heed. God will not accept your religion. God will not accept your works. He will not accept anything that you can do or you try to do to save your life. The only thing he'll accept and the only work that he will accept is the work of his Son on the cross to save you from sin. And I know this morning that many, we don't have to go in to the world to find those who reject the atonement, who reject the way of the cross, who reject the blood sacrifice. But listen, you reject that way. You reject God, and you'll never, never be saved. Cain had a proud spirit. And he thought, I know better than God. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you think, I know better than God. And Cain, in his very actions there in verse number 3, revealed his lost condition through an unbelieving heart. You see, he didn't believe that God's way, the way of the sacrifice, the way of the shedding of the blood, would be enough. He wanted to bring his own efforts. He wanted to bring his own labors. And you know, folks, we could write the life of Cain over so, so many in our province today. They don't want the way of the cross. They reject the Christ of the gospel. They reject his only way of salvation. And what are they doing? They're coming their way. And listen today, there are church people in churches today, and perhaps even in this church. And you think this is enough. People coming and going from churches on a Sunday, and they think that's enough. But yet you refuse the only way to God, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. In short, what Cain was doing there, bringing the wrong offering, he essentially was rejecting Christ and say, I'll do it my way. Is there a Christ rejecter in this meeting this morning? You say, well, I'm not a Christ rejecter. Listen, if you're not saved, that's exactly what you are. You're rejecting Christ. You're rejecting him as your only means of salvation. You're rejecting him as your only hope for heaven. Scripture makes it very clear and plain that you're either in Christ, having come the way of the cross, having come the way of the blood sacrifice of the Savior and the cross, or you're out of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're in church or out of church. This church gives you no protection. The walls of this church will give you no protection from the wrath of God. The only thing that will save you from the judgment of God is the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you come, therefore, the way of the cross? Or are you like Cain? You've had a promising start. You've had the potential. You've had so many blessings. But like Cain, you've displayed a proud spirit and thought, I'll do it my own way. There's a promising start, a proud spirit, but finally, as we close, notice that thirdly, there's a profound statement. There's a profound statement. Come on down to verse 16. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Contrast that with verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He came to the Lord. But he came the wrong way, with the wrong offering, with the wrong spirit. And in verse 16 we read, he went out. He went out from the presence of the Lord. Despite all the privileges, despite the promising start, despite all that he thought was enough, he went out turning his back on the things of God. Very quickly, because I know time has gone, but notice in verse number 7 how that the Lord was merciful with him. Verse 6 we read, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? The Lord knew exactly why. But the Lord goes on and says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? There's the grace of God to Cain. The Lord saying to Cain, if you'd come the right way, if you come the way I have asked, the way I have required, you'll be accepted. What grace, what mercy. Here was the Lord striving, speaking. If thou doest well, accept the blood atonement, accept the way of God. Even though Cain had brought the way of his own offering in verse number 3, yet there was still mercy with God. To those in this meeting today without Christ, even though you may have rejected the way of the cross, maybe all your life, yet there's still mercy today. There's still grace today. You can be saved today if you will but come. The promise, the great gospel promise is that him that cometh to me. How do we come to God? The Lord Jesus Christ gives us that answer when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when you're coming to Christ, what you're doing is you're leaving your sin and you're depending on the cross work of Christ and you're saying, I trust you, I depend upon you, I need you. Cain rejected it. Even though he experienced again the mercy and the warning of God. Look at verse 7 again. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. The Lord was warning Cain, come the right way. But if you don't come the right way, then you're still under the wrath and judgment of God for sin. And you know, when you think of verse 7, it makes it all the more stark when you think in verse 5, where we read that Cain was very wroth, his countenance fell. Anger, hatred built up within the heart of Cain because God didn't accept his sacrifice, and yet God in his grace and mercy still came to this hardened sinner, this proud sinner. And for one more time, gave him an opportunity to come the right way. But Cain was mastered by his sin. Lived on in his sin and refused to come the way of God. He refused to come the way of the cross. And he continued on in his sin. In 1 John chapter 3, in the verse 12 we read, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Here was a man who was overtaken and controlled by sin, pride. And as a man who we know them and on to kill his own brother, and was guilty of putting to death the righteous one who was able. And you know, sinner, this morning, in a most graphic way, that demonstrates to you exactly what you're doing. What are you doing this morning in rejecting Christ? You're trampling under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ. That precious, precious blood that was shed, that blood that cost the Savior his life, it is as if it didn't matter to you. As if it didn't matter to you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, should come into this world and live a life of shame and humiliation and degradation. It's as if it didn't matter to you that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and bore the shame and the scoffing of those who stood around the cross. And then on the cross, endured a death that no man ever has or ever will endure. It's as if it doesn't matter to you that Jesus Christ died, that you might be saved. Cain rejected the final opportunity to get right with God and to come the way that God had demanded. And we read in verse 16, Cain went out. What a tragedy. Cain, from a human point of view, went on to do great things in his life after this. Building the city as a recognized as the instigator, really, of world culture and civilization. Admired and adorned by the world. But his soul doomed. And lost in a lost eternity. The firstborn. Quite possibly, the first to die. And the first to be cast out from the presence of God. Oh, sinner, as this harvest service comes to conclusion, remember the law of the harvest. You look at the good things around you this morning. Where flower seeds were sown, flowers came. Potato seeds were sown, potatoes came. That's the law of the harvest. And spiritually, the law of the harvest applies that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Cain sowed the sins of rebellion and rejection of God. And he reaped the harvest of God's rejection. He went out from the presence of the Lord unrepentant. He went out from the presence of the Lord unforgiven. He went out from the presence of the Lord unsaved. Be cast out from the presence of the Lord for all eternity. What an awful thing it would be for someone to come to this harvest service. Come thinking because you feel this is something I need to do. And yet to reject the way of the cross, the way of Christ as your only hope of salvation, the blood atonement, and to go out from the presence of the Lord. Rejecting the grace and the mercy, the invitation and the warning of God, Oh, tonight, today, will you not come? Will you not come to Jesus Christ? Will you not accept Him and Him alone for salvation? And realize what you can do will never be enough. But all that He has done is enough to save your soul from sin and hell. Will you come to Him today? Come to Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you would be pleased, O God, to write thy word upon our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that there may not be a Cain in this meeting today. One with a promising start, yet they had a proud spirit. O God, we pray that there will be Abels in this meeting today who will come the way that God ordained, the way that God planned, the only remedy for sin, the only way that we can come to God through the blood sacrifice. And O God, we thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinless, spotless Lamb of God who shed His precious blood. And O God, we thank Thee today that through the blood of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. His blood still cleanses. His blood still avails. O God, we pray that You'd speak on. Lord, we pray that You'll bring someone to Thyself ere they would go out and go away from the presence of the Lord to be cast out into outer darkness. O God, we pray for the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and apply it to every heart, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.